Okay. I have hit the record button.
Awesome.
Which is good. And 3, 2, 1. Let me do that again.
One of these days, we're going to start recording a podcast in less than 45 minutes after we're supposed to start recording the podcast.
I rarely that happens for me either.
I swear to God, though, it's like 45 minutes on the dot every single time.
It's because we have an awesome time chatting before the show.
Which we should be doing on the show.
Which we should be doing on the show. All right, in 3, 2, 1. This week on the Lonely TARDIS, Episode 6, we talk cyber rats. The end is nigh. Torchwood lives, or it doesn't, or it does. And we dance like children of the night. And I sounded like Count Chocula for a second there.
Three Lonely
Time Lords.
Oh, shit.
Welcome, everybody.
Wow.
We're off to a roaring start.
So thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah, nice of you to be on, Taylor. This is the end. This is the podcast.
That's about it. Now. Yeah, that's the extent of it. So
it's all we can ever get to, really, after 45 minutes.
Every single time.
Well, here we are.
So how's that? Ourselves anymore? Everybody knows who we are.
No, of course.
I'm kidding.
Damn it, Steven, already?
Yeah, I'm already kidding. I'm dropping
Dally, Dally, do that thing you do.
Yeah, let me do the intro. So I don't get cut off by Steven on his tangents.
Shut up.
Welcome, everybody, to the... Welcome, everybody, to the Lonely TARDIS, Episode 6, another fun-filled episode full of tangents and messed-up beginnings and lots of love. I'm your host, Dally Domofsky, also your host, Sean Norton.
Hello!
And your also host, Steven Strom.
The canonicity of my tangents is yet to be determined.
You are Steven Strom, fourth incarnation, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And finally,
you don't want to know what happened to the other three.
No, we don't. They were eaten by the Tardai. Is Tardai the correct terminology for multiple, or is it TARDIS?
That wouldn't make any sense because TARDIS is an acronym.
Correct. And also joining us on his return appearance, you've been regenerated, Mr. Taylor Bliss.
Hey, everybody.
How's it feel, Taylor?
Hi, Taylor.
Invigorating.
Are you ginger yet?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Perhaps one day.
One day he will be ginger.
I'll get you. I'll buy a revolver and we can go work on that after the show. Hit me up.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about that. Definitely.
Oof.
Let's talk about Doctor Who first, though.
Let's talk about Doctor Who.
Not murder.
Yeah.
Not murder.
Not murder. That'll happen later on, of course.
Assisted regeneration, maybe. I don't know.
We do have a lot to cover this week, guys. I'm just trying to make these segues to keep us rolling. Because having Steven any time on a podcast is just trouble. It's just
you have dangerous. To keep me on a short leash.
Yeah, a really short leash that just happens to be under a car.
I'm mad, Dally, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
There he goes again. And so, Taylor is on. We're happy to have you back on, Taylor. Like I said, we have a lot to talk about. The latest episode, Closing Time, we're going to get into that. We're also going to get into, next week is it for this season, sadly. So we'll talk a little bit about our expectations for the finale. And we got a little bit of news to go over. And then finally, we'll touch on the Torchwood finale, which should be an interesting conversation for those of us that have seen it. So let's go right into, let's go right into Taylor. But that probably wouldn't have come off right. So,
I mean, you can try.
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't be the first person. Taylor,
the last time we had you on the show, you were actually on episode number one.
Correct.
With and that was well before any of this craziness happened with Doctor Who. Actually, it was before the start of the season.
Before the start of this season, or was it before the new break?
No, I believe it was before the start of this season. It was definitely before the new break.
It was definitely before the break. I don't know. It was a long time ago.
How about we just delineate the time on the podcast between like when I was not on the podcast and when I was on? So he was like pre-Steven or
He
was on the show.
Wow.
BS.
I don't think it really Steven. Kate, just based on when Steven Strom was on the podcast.
but what else matters?
Wait. Stop talking. Steven, just stop it. It was June, wasn't it? Didn't you guys publish your first one in June?
Yes.
Wasn't that before your regeneration? Into 2 through 6, which is
actually,
where we are today.
You are correct. We did. We published it right at the beginning of June, actually, right before E3. So the season had started. You're correct.
Okay. That's what I thought.
We had talked about the first half of the season, I think it was.
Right.
Or very near to that, yeah. So, yes.
And a lot has happened since then.
Yes, a lot has happened since then. The second half, a lot of news has come out and all that. But tell us how you feel so far about the second half of the season. What have you liked or disliked?
I've liked the one-offs. I mean, because pretty much most of it has. I mean, you know, it's kind of had the River Song running continuity behind it. The one-offs have been strong episodes, I've thought.
And those were kind of missing from the first half of the season. The first half seemed like, you know,
they really were.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought that kind of, it was definitely something that was missing from a lot of the Matt Smith Doctor Who episodes. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I welcomed it. You know, that was something that you really saw a lot with Tennant, was it was one-off episodes, like one after another, but it all had kind of an over arc that aligned them all. And
right. You
haven't seen that so much with Matt Smith. Like River Song was really heavy-handed as what was kind of driving the season, instead of just being in there to show a continued plot running in the background, which is what they've kind of gone to within the last few episodes. So that's what I've been seeing in the second half. Do you guys agree? Disagree? What do you think?
Oh no, I mean I agree. It was interesting is that we've discussed in the last couple episodes how we haven't quite been I don't want to say we haven't been super fans of these one offs like Night Terrors and I think there was another one prior to this week, but I think maybe because we became so vested in the overarching story of the Silence and River Song and all these tangents kind of coming together.
Yeah, I mean that's I agree with you there, is that, you know, I think as an overall storytelling medium, I preferred the old way. Mm-hmm. But you know, once you start it, where the whole Silence thing is the story, you can't just drop it for one-offs.
Right.
You have to keep going with it. That was definitely also a disappointment, was the fact that all of a sudden you're basically ignoring the story that you were building up for the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the last like three episodes, you really haven't. It's almost like everybody had forgotten about the fact that what started this season was the fact that the Doctor was going to die.
Right.
And everybody's just kind of like, yeah, you know, no biggie, whatever.
You know, it's been kind of interesting, and it's directly lead into the conversation for this week. But the 11th Doctor actually says at one point that he's kind of on his farewell tour.
Right.
He knows he's discovered he's going to die, and so he's decided, you know what, after he leaves Amy and Rory last week, or a couple weeks back, he decided he's going to go and spend the next 300 years or 900 years. 200 years traveling and saying his goodbyes. So they've managed to sum that all up with one episode, closing time.
which he spends all with this one guy, Craig.
That's all that the Doctor's cared about for 200 years is Craig.
I mean, that's a generalization.
Yeah, that's true.
But the problem is the generalization that they provide us with. You know?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, they did do 200 years off screen for sure. We got a hint of that in the very beginning of the very first episode when he was darting all around history and getting in trouble and stuff. But yeah, for the most part, they've definitely jumped forward a little bit.
Well, I mean, do you remember the Tenant sign off? I mean, he literally, like that literally he was going like, I mean, and part of the problem is I was actually talking about this with someone else before. It's like, we already know Matt, he's already signed on for next season.
Yes.
Right.
And like that kind of kills it because like, you know, I mean, I guess we don't know 100% that of what's going to happen in this finale, but he signed on for next season. So
we know he's going to be coming back, and he did sign on for the Christmas special as well, which we'll get into down to the show.
I don't think anybody ever really expected, a final death here. I don't think anybody really thought that. I think from the very beginning, from the very first couple minutes of the show when he did die at the lake, that it was really like, okay, how's he going to get out of this?
That was definitely my first reaction.
And it's the overarching theme. And yes, I think I agree on a lot of your points about you can't really drop it for individual episodes and stuff like that. But I would hope that people haven't gone into it thinking that this is going to be his final adventure and everything. Because I think it's been a wrap, or the whole point has been to see how it'll wrap up and how he'll do his timey-wimey stuff to get out of it. But I do think that it did take some hits.
Did you just say timey-wimey?
Sean says that every week. He makes sure he drops it at least once every week.
Okay, just wanted to double check there. That's all. Continue.
To see how he will get out of it. And I think it did take a little bit of a hit when it wasn't really paid. Like, I think there should have been parts throughout each episode to do complete episodes with almost no mention of it, like what, Night Terrors or whatever. Like you said, I think it does diminish what they were trying to go for throughout the entire season, to say nothing of stuff like Curse of the Black Spot and whatever else.
So. But it's just like, you know, as much as I like him looking at the screen, which says, you know, Doctor's death day was, you know, this time of this day. You know, that isn't a plot that doesn't like continue that plot point. I mean, that makes me remember, oh, yeah, I guess he's supposed to die eventually. But I mean, that being said, I mean, I still enjoyed all of the episodes.
Yeah, for sure. I think this has been one of the best seasons ever, you know, all hyperbole aside. And, you know, I think we can touch on when we talk a little bit about this coming weekend. I think we can talk about just how much they have to do in 50 minutes. You know, I mean, they have a lot seriously, to do in a regular amount of time.
I mean, 2-hour finale is needed.
Coming.
I know. I wish that they did that.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
but anyway, back to...
Yeah. Let's get on to this past week's episode, which was Closing Time, and it was return of a classic Doctor Who villain, and we haven't seen them really this season, and that would be the Cybermen. The Doctor, on his farewell tour, visits Craig, who you might remember from last season, as he was living in the flat with his girlfriend at the time.
They're just friends.
They're just friends, yeah.
That was the whole point of the plot of the episode.
Yeah, so, and now they've moved on to, they got married, they have a son, they moved on to
home. I don't actually think they're married, actually. Oh. I think they point out at one point specifically that they are not married.
Oh, okay. All right.
Really?
Yeah, I think they, because the Doctor says something and Craig interprets it as something else or something like that, and Craig kind of goes off on a tiny tangent about how they thought about getting married or something like that. I can't quite remember.
Huh.
I am pretty sure that they, at some point, Craig mentioned that they were not actually married.
How about that? Must have missed that one.
You learn something new kind of every day. So Craig was, I think that was called The Lodger, when the Doctor had kind of moved in. Yeah. Actually, Wikipedia says that Sophie is still his girlfriend, and they're now raising their baby, Alfie.
Good for him.
You mean Stormageddon?
Yes. Well, Stormageddon, which is actually kind of a funny plot twist. The Doctor can speak baby, which he's done that on a couple previous episodes, actually, with understanding the talk of children, and he actually replies back in full English. and holds these conversations with them. But the baby Alfie tells the doctor that his name is actually Stormageddon. So I thought that was pretty cute.
It was Stormageddon, Dark Avenger of Worlds or something, or Dark Lord of the Worlds or something like that. Like, yeah. He had a full title. Because as he put it, like, Stormageddon, the baby, Alfie put it, that he views the universe entirely split between his mom, not mom, which is what he calls his dad, Craig, and then everyone else in the universe is peasants. Which I thought was pretty funny. I like that the baby thought, like, I thought that was a little nice thing because it kind of wraps up just about all babies in the world, that they think that they're the most important thing in the universe. There you go. Which isn't meant to sound mean. It's just like, if you're a baby, you are the center of everybody around you's universe. So you would think that you were.
So,
Jen.
So we're going to try to silence you again for going off on a tangent. No.
No!
This should be a drinking game. Every time Steven goes off on a tangent, we take a shot. We would probably get pretty...
I'll die of alcohol poisoning.
Every time I go on a tangent, just the insert like an audio clip of the cloister bell going off, and then just edit out everything that I say.
Yep. And so the plot of the story is the doctor comes to find out that there's something mysterious happening in this time, I guess.
In the department store.
Where energy is being drained. And so he ends up getting a job there in the toy department.
Which, where else would he get the job?
Exactly. And I think it was his first day there. The kids just love him. They come to find out that there's energy being drained, and people are starting to disappear one by one. And it is it ends up being the Cybermen after the doctor catches he sees a Cybermat, which is a little slug-like cyber creature, I guess.
That was kind of interesting to me, the Cybermat, because had those ever shown up in any episode previously in, like, the old show or something?
Yeah, they're from the older series.
Okay, I wasn't sure, because I know that they show up in the adventure games. In the second episode of the Adventure Games, and I was wondering if that was like taken straight out of the Adventure Games, because I thought that might have been kind of interesting if they were referencing stuff that just happened in the video games, like that they were tying that into the actual show. I thought that would have been cool, but I guess not. So
they follow the Cybermat back to the store after they captured it, and they find a malfunctioning Cyberman, and then they utilize the signal from the Cybermat, trace it back to the spaceship, which is actually buried underneath the department store. And the Cybermen have been capturing these people and converting them into new Cybermen. And the Doctor rescues...
As Cybermen are wont to do.
As Cybermen are wont to do, yeah. The Doctor ends up saving the day, as usual.
As the Doctor is wont to do.
As the Doctor is wont to do. So, it's interesting because... So I'm going to read the Wikipedia entry right now about the... about how the Cybermen are defeated, because the Doctor and Craig are—they're kind of outnumbered. So here's the actual description. Craig,
sorry,
yeah. Craig, leaving Alfie with the store clerk. Yeah, here, hold my baby. Follows the Doctor into the tunnel where the Cybermen, and is also captured and placed into a conversion machine. So we actually did see Craig get kind of strapped down and slowly become a Cyberman. The Doctor reveals his own impending death, and it urges Craig to fight. But the conversion appears to be complete. So he was telling Craig to, try to stop or not let the cyber conversion take over. So Alfie cries, and Craig hears the baby, and he's encouraged by the doctor telling him that this is his chance to actually be a father. And so he fights and reverses the conversion. And because of that, he sends kind of this emotional shockwave into the rest of the Cybermen, and that the painful experience, they painfully experience the emotions that have been repressed from Craig's struggle, and their circuits overload. So essentially, Craig, being a dad and realizing he's a father, murders all these Cybermen. That's it.
I mean, that's nothing new, though. Like, in the previous episodes in, like, season 2 and stuff, that was how they killed the Cybermen then, too, was to remove their emotional inhibitions and, mm-hmm. like, because if the Cybermen feel any kind of emotion, they realize what they've become, and they kind of commit sort of robo-suicide or something like that. Like, this isn't anything new.
So that's actually a really good point, and I had completely forgotten about that, that was the Cybermen's essentially their weakness.
Yeah.
Throughout that whole episode, I started to think, well, why the heck did they – why was it so easy to send an emotional signal through? Why would that hurt the Cybermen? And it wasn't until I did a couple quick Wikipedia search on Cybermen after the episode aired that I realized, oh, yeah, hey, they're hurt by their weakness is emotion, their kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
So what were your thoughts about the episode now that we've kind of went over the synopsis? Again, it was a one-off episode. It was the Doctor's farewell tour, and he actually made that known a couple times on the episode, and even had that date. Was it the next day was the day his last day? I think he noted. He said, tomorrow's my last day or something.
Yeah.
And so the episode ends, obviously, and the very last scene is River Song looking over paperwork of the date and location of the Doctor's death. I think her name is Kavarian, the crazy lady?
Kavarian, yeah. I think so.
Uh-huh. The folks who are in cahoots with the Silence, she shows up and tells River that basically they still own her. And she has to kill the Doctor. So that all alludes back to that first episode and to the point where they even hand her the spacesuit that she's going to use to kill the Doctor.
So, well, hand her is kind of putting it mildly. Yeah, like
I mean, she's inside it.
They forcefully strap her into it. Like.
So, one thing that I right away picked up on was the whole timing and how we have basically 200 missing years. Of course, they've passed in Doctor's time frame since the God Complex, but 200 years have gone by, and the Doctor has known that he's going to be dying on this specific date, that he's been kind of holding it, expecting his death this whole time. So I found that kind of interesting as almost a subplot throughout the entire episode. And almost the point where the idea of Craig being a father, I think that had something really important to do with the overall Doctor story. We mentioned in the previous episode as the Doctor kind of being a kid and everybody else being his parents. And that kind of flip-flopped at the very end of the God Complex when he left Amy and Rory to be on their own. And this is almost like a further realization of him realizing, hey, telling Craig, now's your time to be a dad. Now that I know what it's like to be, I guess, I know what that feeling is, and being that child, being that lost child. I thought that may have had a little bit of a... they may have been playing off of that previous episode and his realization.
Yeah. No, I like the... I like
yeah.
The, oh, I like the continuing...
Yep.
Fuck you guys. I like the continuing theme of
fatherhood.
Him, of fatherhood, like parenthood in general. But especially coming from the Doctor's perspective of like that, this Matt Smith, I mean, Matt Smith was the youngest Doctor that they had ever had on Doctor Who. And I like this kind of idea of him sort of, kind of starting off as a kid, more of a kid. Like if you can go back to season 5, I think it was like the second or third episode of season 5 where they are on the Starship UK, and like he gets angry, he throws tantrums, he acts like a kid all the time, he's very immature, and I like this kind of concept that they've kind of been holding throughout the whole season of like a more mature and kind of grown up and a little bit more pragmatic Doctor that you see a glimpse of at the very beginning with right before he's killed next to Silencio Lake. Then you kind of like you see how he's going to be, how much more reserved he's going to be, and then throughout the sixth season, you've seen him grow into that character until you finally come into the end here of at the end of the God Complex. He kind of realized that he was being a child. Then over his 200 years and his adventure with Craig, you see that he has finally grown into that character that you saw at the very beginning of the season. So some interesting nonlinear storytelling, but it's kind of and it's pretty subtle. I like that. I really like that.
Well, what's one thing that I forgot to mention was that Amy and Rory do make a quick appearance in this episode.
True.
They're walking through the mall, And a little girl, the doctor kind of sees them from a distance and sees a little girl run up to them and ask for Amy's autograph. So he was kind of bewildered at first, then turned his head and saw a giant billboard with her face on it. She essentially owns a perfume company, or is the...
She's a model now.
She's in the tagline on the perfume. The company was Petrichor, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Which is pretty funny.
And I like that you picked up on that.
Yeah, and the tagline, I think it was like for the girl who's sick of waiting, or for the girl who's tired of waiting, or something like that. Which, again, alludes to the whole idea of the girl who waited, and the whole idea of Amy constantly waiting, and all that kind of stuff. I'm interested to kind of hear what you guys felt about the return of the Cybermen in almost a really minimal role. I mean, they were kind of kidnapping people and turning them into Cybermen, but usually when we see Cybermen, it's an all-out war, or it's a whole giant attack on humanity. In this case, it was very small. It was as if they were just kind of reawakening and starting to build their army again from the ground up. And we didn't see... Last time we saw them was in... I think it was in A Good Man Goes to War. Again, they were used there as kind of the whole anti-Doctor Army portion. Here, it's just this small group of Cybermen.
One thing I just wanted to... That I kind of noticed was a little bit weird about the Cybermen was that... two things, actually. Well, the first one was that... This whole episode kind of mimicked, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, but it kind of mimicked the last episode with Craig, the Lodger, in that Craig living in some kind of area and people disappearing near him because of some kind of crazy space monster or something like that, just being taken one by one by one by one and converted into something or destroyed or something like that.
Right, right.
Which I thought was kind of, I don't know, like I said, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but if it was unintentional, that's a little bit weird. If it was intentional, then that's, you know, that's neat. But, and then the second bit was, I kind of almost, where I thought it was kind of going at first with the episode was that you saw that first Cyberman, it was all scarred up and beaten and whatnot. He had a little bit of personality inflicted on him, kind of.
Which means he must have been there for a while.
Well, they said that the ship crashed there like millions of years ago, and that the ship was getting more energy because they were installing new electricity or something above them, and he became active. But I kind of almost wish that rather than like sort of, I mean, it was sort of a run of the mill Cybermen story, other than the fact that there were so few of them. In that it's Cybermen, they're tricking people into coming towards them and then converting them until they finally have enough of them where they can just basically go off on all war. But they didn't really get to the war stage. I was kind of hoping that it would be more like Doctor Who versus one Cyberman. One Cyberman and a little bit more personality injected into him. Because I thought that would have been a kind of a novel idea.
Yeah, I always liked when they did that with the Daleks. They had
the hybrids.
The hybrids and that actually had some sort of personality to them.
The Cult of Skaro.
The Cult of Skaro.
Yep.
Dalek Sek and all them, yeah.
Yep.
And I would, or like even the Dalek from the episode Dalek, like just, I mean, they'd done something more like that. Because the episode Dalek is like my favorite episode from season one. And I would have kind of liked to see that, especially since it would have been a little bit weird to see the Cybermen, who are by definition completely without personality. It would have been a little bit interesting to see them play with the idea of a Cyberman with personality aesthetically, and then at the same time, maybe from a story perspective. Because obviously the Dalek from Dalek getting a personality was a very bad thing for him, and it played out heavily in the storyline. And it would have been interesting to see that play out in the episode, or maybe even not have that Cyberman die. Maybe he becomes like a Dalek Sek or something like that, where he would be a recurring antagonist almost. But no, it was just kind of a run-of-the-mill Cyberman there in London doing bad stuff.
I think it was just a Cyberman story.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that I don't even think the Cyberman story was what they came up with first. I think they were like, want to do a father story, so they threw in Craig, and they were like, well, now we need an excuse for him to act like a father, and then they threw in Cybermen.
Yeah, which villain have we not used this season?
Which one hasn't gotten much screen time? It's like, well, we haven't done Cybermen in a while, so they just kind of based it around Cybermen.
Exactly.
It wasn't like that really fleshed out, and it's just like, oh, there's a ship under that shopping mall. just came back. Cybermen there. Rebuilding. It's like it just seemed kind of thrown together. Especially when Cybermen are supposed to be like one of the major antagonists of the show. I thought it was kind of haphazardly thrown in there as a plot point.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I don't enjoy it, but
yeah, I mean, it's always fun to see the Cybermen walking around and shit. But,
right. That's how I took it.
No, I totally agree with you. They didn't seem fleshed out at all.
Sean, you've been kind of quiet while we've been chatting about this, and I know you watched the episode. I'm curious to kind of get your overall feel. Maybe not so much about the Cybermen, but about some of the other themes that were maybe floating around this episode about the Doctor's death or his issues with parenthood.
So don't talk about the Tacton Cybermen then.
Okay. Yeah, I think they beat that metallic yeah. Bush to death.
Yeah,
or just Horace.
Wait, quick metallic note on Bush?
That. I did. Stop it! Stop it!
Stop what?
Leave it.
I didn't.
Leave it.
Stop it. I didn't.
Nope.
No. Wait. Now it's my turn.
All I'm saying is. Oh, okay. You didn't stop me. Well, in that case,
Sean, go ahead.
I didn't dislike them as much as a lot of other people did, for the record. I did think it was very cheesy the way they were taken out, yeah. And I did think they were kind of an afterthought. I do agree that they probably built them into the story once they had that other framework there. But I thought it was okay. I thought it stayed true to the roots of more like older and then reinvented Cybermen, kind of a mix of that. But we're not talking about that. That's fine. the rest of the episode... I liked it. It's really tough. It's really, really tough to do standalone episodes like we talked about just this season in particular, right. Because they've worked so hard on doing this really, really amazing, immersive arc from the very beginning up until this weekend when it all hopefully comes together. So like we've said many times before, you do your standalone episodes and it's almost like an oomph is lost, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're still getting Doctor Who and you're getting very good Doctor Who, in my opinion. I think even at its least effective, it's still fantastic, Doctor Who
and
television.
It's like they've been building up steam the whole season and then they just kind of coasted for this episode.
Right, right.
Actually, I just want to put in one quick thing there. Actually, what Taylor just said totally makes me think, like, I could have totally completely done without this episode and instead had a two-part season finale.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, and I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I would have definitely
reason,
liked it for that style.
For whatever reason, they went this way. They went this direction. They want to show him at the very, very end before, his death. Maybe they didn't want to be too similar to Tennant, or maybe they didn't want to put too much emphasis on something that's going to be ultimately resolved. I don't know. We'll know. Hopefully we'll know more after Saturday. But for what it is, in this world, not the ideal world where we got our two-parter, I thought it was good. I thought as a standalone, it was it was a lot of fun. I think there's great chemistry between Matt Smith and James Corden. I thought they were hilarious to watch at parts. They were a lot of fun to really just tell their story there.
They make a really good team, I think.
They really do. They really do. And it wasn't one of those things where it was like I was upset that he was coming back. I quite enjoyed the Lodger, even though it was very goofy, and I know a lot of people have problems with that. I liked the Lodger a lot, and I was kind of – I guess I was indifferent. I was like, oh, he's coming back. That'll be cool. And it turned out to be really funny, and it was heartwarming, and there were some really, really great jokes throughout. I mean, Stormageddon is just fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just so funny, the Dark Lord of all. And continuing the theme that Doctor speaks baby and the fact that he can go shh and people with like lesser intelligence instantly shut up, I thought was hysterical. Like, I don't know why. Maybe I have lesser intelligence, but I was laughing every time he did it, especially with the shop clerk, that girl who just would not stop ranting.
That was a thinly veiled insult towards me, wasn't it?
And I thought what really sold it for me was the looks that Matt Smith would give throughout the episode. In the beginning, when he just wanted to show up, say goodbye, and leave, I thought that was good. He did a lot of heavy-hearted looks into the distance or looks at the ground, and you could tell that 200 years had gone by.
Or
he knew
look
was
at
coming,
Amy.
And he was just, oh well, that's a whole other situation. I mean, that's the heartbreaking in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But that's really confusing too, and we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, I just thought he really sold it, and he really kind of brought an element to Who that we haven't really seen before. Even when, you know, David Tennant knew that the Knox were coming, he was going to fight till the very end. You know, he was going to change his fate. The prophecy wasn't going to pertain to him, and then whatever. But this is Matt Smith, and the Doctor is just like, you know what, it's coming. There's nothing I can do about it. And now that's it. I've spent 200 years avoiding it. I've said goodbye to everybody. I've done all these adventures and gotten in trouble and then lived this crazy life and met Jim the Fish and whatever. And
Jim the Fish.
And this is it. I mean, this is it. He said goodbye to one last friend, and you saw it every time. You saw it when he was talking to the baby in the room. You saw it when he wouldn't tell Craig why he was really there and everything. And I just thought that was brilliant. I thought that was incredible. Once again, just a fantastic performance by Matt Smith, who is already acting as a 900-year-old alien, and then added 200 years and impending death onto that, and it was just a whole other layer of just fantastic performance. And then in terms of the other stuff going on in the episode, like you said with Amy and Rory, I was really caught off guard by that. I know. This is – I'm not even sure where we are in their timeline at this point. I know he dropped them off, and then he went off 200 years in his timeline. But now is he back – he's back in their future, right? Like this is them after he brings them back in the beginning of the season, right?
You'd have to imagine at least a few months have passed, if not a few years.
Yeah. Oh, no, years. I mean she's – I'm assuming she's relatively famous now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean because she's getting autographs and stuff, and I've never seen a girl
– Well, I mean there was a giant billboard right behind her.
Well, yeah, but this is 2011. People can become famous overnight.
I guess, yeah. Is it still 2011?
Yeah, remember the date he died, right?
Right, because
I guess my point is that a kid sees a chick on a billboard and then sees the chick on said billboard, ask for autograph.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So I mean, I would think that
I can't imagine any model is like a household name to any kid. Like,
but do kids do that? Do they see somebody on a billboard and be like, "Can I have your autograph?"
I don't think that there's enough modeling perfume to really base anything concrete out of.
Right, and there's definitely not.
I mean, maybe she's not just a model. Maybe she's like an actress or something and does modeling. I mean, a lot of actresses do modeling and stuff on this, like as promotional deals and shit too. So it's possible that she's actually even more famous or doing something else.
Well, what's also interesting, bringing up the word model, is apparently somebody mentioned that on Twitter. And Stephen Moffat was like, "Model, really? You need to pay attention." Hmm. And that just totally throws that all out. So I don't know what's going on with that. But
well, I've been calling her a model this whole fucking time. Why didn't you bring that up? Like, what's with this 11th hour bullshit?
Well, I don't want to interrupt you. You don't talk enough, so I figured I would just let you do your thing.
Yeah, I
don't
talk enough. Yeah.
That, or I just remembered it right now. But,
oh, okay.
Tomato, tomato. Point B. Being that threw me, but when you get to the core of it, his look at her and that heartbreak, oh man, it's tough. And we've never really seen that. We haven't seen that with any of these companions. I mean, when Martha left, he was like, "What are you gonna do?" I take that back. I'm wrong because the Donna Noble thing. I'm completely wrong because every time he saw her, his heart broke. Yeah. So it sucks to see it like that again. I mean, the guy just can't catch a break. But then again, of course, that ties in with all the other themes. People staying with him either, when they was 10, they either turn into weapons and children of time or whatever. And with this guy, it's unfortunate that he's worried he's going to be standing over their grave. And Lord knows they've died enough. They've died many times hanging out with
them,
him.
Yeah. So, Adric fucking flew into a goddamn meteor or crashed a meteor, yeah.
Oh, he flew into the Earth, actually.
He was on a meteor, though.
He caused the extinction of the dinosaurs.
Yeah, he did. I have a friend who knew a guy who was named Adric after Adric from Doctor Who.
Well, nice.
Yeah, that was a bit of trivia for you there.
Good story.
Tangent.
Anyway, I liked the episode. I thought it was very solid for a standalone. I thought it was a nice little lead up. The one thing I didn't like, and maybe I'm alone in this, I did not like the ending. I did not like all the River Song stuff.
Oh yeah, that's because you're dumb.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're just going to do that from now on, okay.
So that's how things are going to be.
You wait, because sooner or later there's going to be something you like, and oh my God, am I going to call you on it? Mm-hmm. Should I just stop there then? Dolly, you want to keep going?
Because
apparently I'm No, apparently I'm too dumb. I'm too dumb to understand Doctor Who. So I
didn't say you were too dumb to understand Doctor Who. Don't be putting words in my mouth. Yeah,
Steven.
Anyway, she's been missing in a lot of this season. Even when she had episodes dedicated to her, I still feel like the rest of the season has been missing a lot of River Song. And I mentioned that a couple episodes ago with the lack of mention of their baby and the lack of Amy and Rory being upset.
And
to just see her sitting there
that's a whole thing I never understood. Like
you and me,
they went over one episode and it's like, oh yeah, she's River Song.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that last episode a lot. So
it's just like that. Yeah, it's not something you just ignore because you know that she's going to be there in the future. Like you just lost your baby. Nope.
I know, and I don't get it. I still don't get it, and I'm still hoping that they address it next week or this weekend, and that maybe the Silence were involved or something, because it's such a massive, massive oversight, and it makes no sense for the kind of writing that Moffat and company really do.
Actually, speaking of the Silence, there was one kind of interesting thing that I'm sure somebody else has thought of, but nobody's mentioned so far on the podcast, that at the end of the episode, she was it Dr. Kavorian again? I can't remember. Lady
Madam. Yeah.
Madam
Kavorian. Kavorian.
Kavorian. Has that like metal eye patch, right?
Right. And, well, we don't know if it's metal. It's something weird.
Well, anyway, she's got an eye patch thing over one eye or some cybernetic implant or something. And we've seen previews with River Song with that same kind of thing over her face. And Madam Kavorian doesn't seem to be affected by the Silence. So my guess is that those eye patch eye cybernetic implants things like nullify the abilities of the Silence.
Ooh, that is a wonderful theory, Steven.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody out there has already thought of that, but I thought of that, and I think I've seen like.
But I thought of that too.
but I thought of it too on my own.
Thought for better. 10 seconds faster, but and then, like I said, I think I've seen promo pictures with Amy and Rory wearing the same thing, and so I bet you 10 to 1 that's probably what it is. And the fact that we see River, and if that is the case, the fact that we've seen River wearing that in the trailer would indicate to me that this next episode is going to feature some heavy Silence interaction, which is great because I love the Silence.
Cool. Yeah, I think
seen the trailer for the end.
A little bit of it, but I can't remember. Or I saw the trailer, but I can't really remember what happened in it.
Okay. Well, there's going to be plenty of Silence to go around. That's for sure.
There you go.
But there's some. I don't know if we want to talk about it, but they released some promo pictures for the finale. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Let's get into the finale because next week is, or this weekend is the finale. Unless anybody has anything else to say about closing time,
I think ending.
Yeah,
I hit all the main points I wanted to.
Okay,
they tacked on River Song, and it bothers me.
They did not tack her on.
I don't think so. I think they needed it as a lead-in.
No, they were prepping it for the finale.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't tacked on. It wasn't like River Song appeared in the main plot of the episode. Like it was. They just were saying, "Yo." Like we're getting ready for the end here,
and then they just dunked her in a lake and she's waiting. I don't know. It just feels.
I mean, if anything, the problem with it is that it accentuated how disjointed it is from the rest of the season. I mean, that's what that ending really did.
Yeah,
and I just it's weird. Of everything with the astronaut in the lake and everything, it was really weird to see her kind of just taken and then put there. And now she's waiting in the suit. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm alone. I could be alone on it, but
Taylor, especially you keep saying that it's really disjointed and stuff. I bet you 10 to 1 when this comes out on DVD and you watch it all without that big giant middle of the season gap in it and all that sort of thing. I'll bet you it flows a lot better than you remember it does, because I can't like this whole disjointed thing, because they have mentions of the Doctor dying here and there. Yeah, sure. But
I'm more meant just this episode in that scenario.
Okay.
But I mean, yeah. But the fact of the matter is that's not how they did it. You know, referencing kind of like the DVD release doesn't. I mean, it's more of it's an after the fact reasoning for how something plays out now.
Except buy it on DVD.
Well, yeah, and that's great. But like, I mean, like, I'm the viewer watching it now, how they're presenting it to us, like that, you know, that's what I'm seeing, and that's what I'm going to remember. While I could go back to the DVD after the fact and be like, oh, you know what, you're right, this does play out better this way.
I'm not saying that like the problem isn't there. All I'm right. saying is that it deserves mentioning that at a certain point something might be it might seem a little bit different. I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm just saying like, it bears mentioning.
Honestly, sure. It's all going to come down to Saturday. It yep. really is.
It will.
There's
yeah,
so much hanging out there right now. There's just
and
I hope they can do it.
Banger.
I hope they can do it. Well, it'll probably be some questions answered, some new questions pop up, some frustrating questions get ignored. But if they can answer some of the bigger things, I'll take it till next year. But let's discuss that, right, Dolly?
Let's discuss that. We noted in the Google Doc here, the show notes. It'd be interesting to see everybody's prediction about what we think is going to happen, not only from this episode, but how it leads us into, the off season or next season. I guess you could say we're not talking about next season, but just our overall predictions for this. And maybe next week we can see who got the closest. But
so we're predicting this finale, or
we're
like
predicting this finale. I said let's predict this finale and how kind of what it leaves us with. Let's start with Taylor. Taylor, I mean, this is a huge finale because the show has gained a lot over the season in the U.S. obviously, and so the character we've kind of fallen in love with a lot of new characters. There's a whole giant cast. There's a lot of new enemies, of course, with the Silence. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I mean, obviously they're going to bring back Rory and Amy. That's probably going to happen pretty early on in the episode, I would imagine. And I mean, I'm just trying to think about the way that I picture it happening out is that, I mean, the ending that we saw at the beginning at the lake is got, I would imagine that just kind of like the way that they write it, it's going to happen again. It's just, except for, the part where they burned him. that's not going to happen because he's not going to die. But I would imagine that like they can't really avoid that shooting part based on the ending to the last episode that we just saw. I think it's pretty clear that that's going to happen either way. I'm still kind of – I'm not positive of whether or not that's going to be at the beginning or the end of this coming episode. Part of me believes that it's going to be at the beginning and then the rest is going to play out following that, kind of battling the Silence after he manages to avoid it. But I really, I mean, they've left me, I have to admit, they've left me a really big toss up. I don't have anything more solid than that to go on. It's definitely up in the air for me. That's all I got.
Well, you made kind of an interesting interesting point there. I'm in agreement with you to some extent. I actually think my prediction is that it is all going to circle back to this episode or to that very first kind of that first episode, that first scene we saw. I think the Doctor is still going to get shot by River Song. I think he's going to pseudo die, I guess we could say, because he is planning all this, but he also knows that there's some way to prevent himself from actually dying. So I think that's why he purposefully had his body burned. At least he invited his FBI buddy or CIA buddy to do that. But I think that scene's going to happen. I think the Doctor will get shot, but I think it's all a plan for him to infiltrate the Silence and Madame Kovarian into thinking that thinking that he's dead, so that he can kind of get back at them and spoil their plan. It just seems like it would be too obvious for that route, though, because it happened in the past. It's happened several times before. Obviously, we've seen the Doctor with a clone. We've seen the and him utilizing that clone to his advantage, so that there was a fake Doctor and there's a real Doctor, and the fake Doctor was the one that died, not the real one. And so I think this could be one of those types of situations where the Doctor knows he has to kind of die to some extent in order to keep the story going, but he's already figured his way out of it. I also think that we're not going to get much more out of this episode with River Song, apart from maybe this is the point we find her actually going to jail for killing the doctor or something. You know, I mean, I think this is the actual moment, or this episode is the moment where we actually see that happen. So, and that might be what changes her down the line. That's my thoughts. What about you, Steven?
Okay.
Me? Yeah.
Next.
Well, I think one thing that we're all kind of overlooking here, which kind of seems pretty glaring to me, is that they burned the doctor on a pyre. He was dead, right? They've done that before. Not to the doctor,
To the master.
And, yo, dude came back. Like,
yep.
He wasn't the same, though.
No, but that was because his wife messed with his regeneration or whatever it is. She blew it up at the last second or something and destabilized his reincarnation.
I mean, we don't think that they wouldn't do something so glaring as to repeat that whole thing.
No, I'm not saying that they're going to repeat the whole thing. What I'm saying, though, is that there are ways to bring people back. Like, that... It doesn't necessarily have to be like he pseudo dies or that his clone dies. I mean, the flesh showing up seems almost too glaringly obvious. Like the flesh showing up, because I mean they did leave that pretty big hook at the end of towards the end of the Rebel Flesh, where they actually point out that those two flesh people at the end, the flesh doctor included,
and
probably
flesh Amy.
Flesh Amy? There was a flesh Amy.
There's a flesh Amy.
Yeah, remember he breaks her up.
No.
Yeah, at the very end of that episode, he basically kills the flesh version, and she wakes up.
That was a huge cliffhanger.
Okay. Okay. I thought you were talking the ones that the Kavarian made. Talking like one that got made during the course of that episode. Yeah, and the flesh Amy, and that was a little bit different because the flesh Amy thought she was the real Amy. There was no those were a connection. I'm talking like the doctor, the flesh doctor that was like its own entity.
The Flesh Doctor sounds just like a horrible porn for Doctor Who.
Yeah, it does. In all the right ways.
My turn, motherfucker. And, I mean, there are lots of ins and outs. Like, it could have been the Flesh Doctor. It could have been, don't you say it. And it could, they can bring him back even after he's burned because they've done that before. I mean, there has been an eerily similar case where a doctor or a Time Lord was killed, didn't regenerate, and then got burned, and then was on a pyre, and was then brought back to life. It wouldn't be surprising if they just brought him back somehow other than that, or if you maybe even River. Maybe they will reference that, maybe the season 3 stuff. Maybe River, in her archaeology or something, finds that same formula that the Master used. That would be kind of interesting to reference the Master in a post-Russell T. Davies world. I think you guys, Taylor and Sean, are going to be pretty disappointed. They will. What?
You mean Taylor and Dally?
No, I mean Taylor and Sean.
Okay.
Because they're... Hi. Because they're the ones who keep harping on the concept of Amy should be upset that she missed her daughter. That's what I'm saying. Is Sean not on the call or what?
Hello.
No, he's listening.
Okay. Well then, why did you say you?
Oh, I thought you were going to. I thought you were going to reference the Taylor and I's prediction.
Oh no! I'm going all off by myself right now. I'm talking about. Yeah, I don't think they're going to really reference too much of Amy's maternal.
I don't think they're going to reference it, and that's why it's annoying.
Yeah, no.
I'm fully expecting that. It would at this point. It would actually almost be more ridiculous for them to bring it up again.
Okay. Well, I mean, if it does connect somehow to the silence, that's the only way.
Right.
I think the silence will feature prominently, just from promo images and from the images of that eye patch thing, which I totally believe is somehow connected to avoiding the silence or immuning oneself to the silence. I'm not really sure where I think this episode is going to go. I mean, the silence as the religion, the silence, not the species, seems almost too large to kind of for the doctor to kind of take on. It's kind of reminds me back into the Pandora Opens thing, where the doctor never really beat all the Santar and Silurian Dalek nesting alliance, you know, thing. He kind of just he got his ass kicked. Like, I don't think that because there's just so many of them, the headless monks and the silent species and Kavarian and the humans and all that, that it just seems too large for the Doctor to kind of take on, especially in one episode. And so I don't exactly know what he's going to try and do. Like, what I don't know what his end goal here is. Obviously, to survive. But, like, other than that, it doesn't seem like they're trying to like, with the last season, you had, like, the cracks in time and, like, the very basic goal of trying to seal the cracks and save the world. And then season two obviously had the Daleks and the Cybermen, and three, you know, the Master and whatnot. But in this one, like, there doesn't – the only master plot here seems to be to kill the Doctor. There doesn't seem to be any idea to, like, destroy the universe or bend it to its our will or something like that. It seems like they want to kill the Doctor. And, so, like, his end goal here is to not die. And I don't know what he's going to do beyond that. I can't think of anything, really. I mean, because he doesn't seem to have an objective other than to not die. Amy and Rory showing up, I would imagine they show up. But I would almost predict that it's, like, past Amy and Rory rather than the Amy and Rory we got an image of in the last episode here. And maybe they show up later, the future ones, or present ones or whatever, but the ones from the past that were at Lake Silencio and stuff like that, I think that they will show up at first and then maybe tip over to the other ones at one point. But the only thing that I think we will see for certain here is that I will bet you they set up, by the end of the episode, they will have set up Riversong as the new main companion for next season. That's my big prediction. Alex Kingston is finally going to become like a regular.
Who? You said River and who?
Nobody. River. Just River.
Just River? Oh, okay.
River Song. Melody Pong. That character. The one that was on ER. Yeah.
No, I know who you're referencing. I just thought you said someone else.
No. Just River Song. And that's all I can really puzzle out. And I'm actually almost glad of that. Because I'm glad I don't see where this is going already.
So that just leaves Sean.
Ha, ha, ha. Okay.
In a good way, Sean. We're interested to hear what you think is going to
happen. Oh, of course. Yeah.
It's some of us are.
Tough acts to follow. Except Steven. You know, it's interesting.
Just a tough acts to grind.
It's interesting because there's a lot of fear out there about some massive twist or some massive reset button. And I feel that way too. I really want to like last year's finale, but it was just a little too much for me.
Sure.
So now that we've got all this really grinding towards the end here, there's a couple things I think are too obvious. I think it's too obvious that River shoots the Doctor, especially at the end of last week's episode. I think it would be too obvious if it was a Ganger or the Flesh Doctor. So I'd like to think we could rule those two out automatically just because there will be something.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You cool? Okay. don't die on the call. Don't die. Don't die.
I'll try to hold it off.
Please. Thank you.
Let me
I think those two things will definitely be ruled out. What's interesting is that from the previews, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense. A lot of stuff has gone wrong, I think. So I think there's an even bigger element that's going to be at play in the finale that we haven't even seen hints of yet. I mean, you've got the pterodactyls, you've got the pyramids, you've got the all the stuff that they showed that doesn't make any sense at all. So it's almost like there's something wrong with time. And I wonder how that's going to tie in with the Doctor's death. It's obviously won't die, but I really don't know how they're going to avoid that unless they do some time hijinks. That's my thing. I think we're going to see something not similar, but not at the same time not dissimilar from what we saw last year where he jumped around and changed stuff. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it ties in more to defeating the silence or using some of that stuff or hell, even the eye patches coming into play. But I think we're going to see that. And obviously Amy and Rory will be back. But I think there's going to be a bait and switch. I think it's going to be somebody different in the suit. And I think we may see a multi-doctor situation but I don't think it'll be ganger. I don't think it'll be a ganger.
Yeah, there actually was talk a while ago of doing there was rumors, I think, last year about a multi-doctor story coming up at some point.
Right. And don't get me wrong. I don't think it'll be other. I don't think it'll be different versions. I think it'll be 11. I think there's just two 11s floating around out there somehow, somewhere. And I think that's going to come into play at the end. Because I think time is all messed up. And I think in order for this to happen and the Doctor to die, I don't think it's a complete red herring, but I think it's a pretty big one. And I think they're going to take a route that just honestly nobody sees coming. From what I've read, I don't think anybody really has a firm grasp on how this is going to work, because there's really only the obvious, which we've discussed and either predicted or eliminated, or something that's so completely out there that we just can't see it coming at all. So I think it's going to be shocking, and I think the biggest question is going to be at the end whether or not it's satisfying or whether or not it's disappointing. So I hope, I think it's going to be satisfying, but we'll see. I mean, hopefully we don't have a big bang on our hands, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I really think that the hope isn't – I think everybody's hope isn't so much that they wrap everything up, because I think a lot of us like to see these dangling strands throughout the series, because it keeps us coming back. I think everybody just hopes it's a satisfying conclusion, more so than the one thing that's been really great about Matt Smith's era of – Doctor Who is that hasn't been so much as protecting the planet or the universe. It's really been kind of focused around his character, or in last year's Amy's character.
Sure.
And so they're not these giant mega finales, right? There isn't like these exploding universes, or they're or the Master taking over planet Earth. It's really kind of this small centralized story. I think if they can achieve that here, this weekend, I think that's going to be a huge win for the series.
Yeah, and I mean, last season they did that. They went so big that the whole universe, poof, gone.
It was so big of a story, but it was so small when you kind of take a step back and say it was really kind of focused on the whole universe in relation to Amy, as opposed to the whole universe as in the whole universe.
And I think we've got a lot to look forward to, at least I hope, at least in terms of resolution to the reputation he's built for himself, inadvertently as it may be. There's been a lot of focus on that, a lot of focus on the Doctor being warrior and inadvertently creating all these enemies and all this fear and people kind of looking to him to go to battle and fix all this stuff. I hope and I think that we'll see sort of a resolution to that too. And I think whatever happens at the end of this series, we're going to get a very different direction and a very different Doctor going into 2012, the end of 2012, whenever that may be. At least that's what I want to see. And also, personally, I really want to – I know I'm not going to get it, but I really, really, really want to know how all those enemies came together in that alliance last year, because that drives me crazy to see Daleks, Cybermen, and all those other side-by-side fighting against the Doctor.
Obviously, the silence influenced them to do it.
Well, that's fine, but I'd love to see the silence influencing a Dalek and a Cyberman.
I'm just totally – I'm goofing with you.
What we were led to believe. You had spaceship burn marks outside Amy's house. You had, whatever. Something still took control of the TARDIS and blew it up. I mean, that's huge.
Explain that. And actually, now I think about it, at the end of season 5, doesn't the TARDIS receive some sort of transmission that they all miss?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like from some outside force. Yeah, so maybe. I'm going to go back and change my original thought here. Like, maybe there's this outside force that we don't even know about, and that's where everything gets tied up with.
I'd love that. I would love the silence being a factor with some bigger enemy.
Like, maybe something else is controlling even the silence. Ooh. Just saying. Right?
That would be great. It's a religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine they bring back some huge big bad and... And unlike the silence, which are kind of hinted at, like then that's your kind of big enemy, like throughout the season 7.
Yeah,
let's say Omega or something, like this huge bad guy from the old series, like this just like renegade Time Lord, whatever. Even the Master,
Rani maybe or something. I don't know.
Right, exactly. Valyard, whatever. You bring back this this huge enemy. You put him as everything that's been going on for the past two seasons, and then you have him completely, like, just totally running rampant in the next season. And then as the Doctor's dealing with that, that builds into the 50th anniversary in 2013.
Right, where he assembles the Key to Time again and fights the Black Guardian.
Oh, jeez. So, I mean, I think overall that's, you know, these are all really great, you know, hopes and wishes for this finale. And I'm so excited to watch and you know, kind of see it all unfold. And I think we'll next week's episode, we're actually going to do a special episode just the day after the show is out so that we can all still have the effect and really wrap up on it. But let's move on. We have a couple little things of Doctor Who news to cover. Mainly the Christmas special has been announced. So we do know that's coming this year. The cast, I think we briefly mentioned it.
Yeah,
last year.
We mentioned it briefly.
Yeah, but it includes actors and actresses Claire Skinner, Bill Bailey, Alexander Armstrong, Arabella Ware. The plot is actually out there a little bit, but they're not getting too much into it. But Amy and Rory do make an appearance in the episode. To what extent, we don't know. So something to look forward to. And I think that what does that usually air? That
The Christmas special. When does the Christmas special usually air? Is that what you just asked?
Well, I don't know. Is it going to air on the same day in the U.S. is kind of what I'm asking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the last one.
Past couple of years, it's been the same.
Okay, great. And I mean, the story is kind of set in the middle of winter during World War II, which is, to me, it's really interesting because they've done a lot of these World War II plots, right? With
and Dolly, they're all set during winter.
They're
it's
all
Christmas.
Set during winter. Well, I know,
it's
but
the Christmas special.
No, what I was getting to.
Jokes, guys. We're telling jokes. No,
This is the first World War II Christmas special, I believe. No, what I was getting to is that they've had a lot of these World War II episodes, and you know, with Winston Churchill.
It is definitely familiar ground.
It's very familiar ground. It's like when you play the, you know, any of the first three Call of Duties on Xbox. It's like, oh, hey, it's World War II again, but this time from a different angle. So I think I don't want to say that it's becoming overly worn out, but it's starting to become a little worn out when they revisit. I mean, we just had Let's Kill Hitler. Which
on top of that, like, I'm pretty sure in the clip of the next episode for the finale, I'm pretty sure showed Winston Churchill, didn't it?
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about, because it showed Churchill, but like with Romans, like whatever's going on there doesn't make any sense.
I'll bet you it'll turn out to be like a Grant Morrison Batman thing where you're going hopping, like, in if you don't read comics out there, kids, Grant Morrison wrote a while ago that this just popped into my head, but Grant Morrison wrote a Batman story a little recently after Final Crisis, which was a big event in the DC universe. Batman gets killed by Darkseid, and you know, he's a dead, smoldering corpse. Everybody sees him dead and everything. Superman holds his rotting body and shit. But then what ends up happening instead is that he wasn't actually dead, because they obviously aren't going to kill Bruce Wayne. But what ended up happening to him is he got transported back into like caveman days. And then he was jumping forward in time. So he jumped, like, there was an issue where he was in caveman days, and then there was an issue where he was in pirate days, and then there was an issue where he was in the 1960s. And then it got forward and forward until he was in, like, the future, like, towards the end of the universe and stuff like that. Now that I actually think about it, I'll bet you we'll see something like that with Doctor Who, because, like, the Romans and Winston Churchill and the pterodactyls, I'll bet you there's, like, some sort of – there's a lot of time hopping in the next episode, I will bet you. Or either that, or maybe all of time is spilling into one area.
So remember,
there you go. I think it's that. Yeah. I think it's the time spill.
It could be the time spill. I think the time hopping was – it might be a little bit too close to the Doctor. Was A Good Man Goes to War, where he went and through time and recruited kind of his band of anti-heroes to help him take on, you know, the humans and the Cylons.
Calls in all of his favors.
Yeah, calls in all of his favors. So I think that, maybe this one's more of a time is starting to spill through. But anyways, back to the Christmas special. It's They're saying it's going to be the most Christmassy ever, whatever that means.
Thank God, which, because there's just been not enough Christmas.
Yeah, there's been not enough
Christmas. Yeah, I mean,
Santa Claus robot assassins weren't Christmassy enough.
Last year, when that was supposed to be the most Christmassy ever, definitely lacked that Christmassy vibe on Christmas, which is when the Christmas special airs.
But I'm just like, how am I supposed to know it's Christmas? All they do is talk about Christmas and mention Christmas.
And wear hats and reenact the
Christmas carol.
Carols, and it's like, what the fuck, guys?
And then they have the actor who plays Dumbledore, which is from a character from a series of movies that constantly have Christmas in them as a major event. Like every Harry Potter movie has Christmas.
Well, we better.
I don't know about you guys, but I hope they amp up on the Christmas this year.
Well, they're going to take Christmas to 11. They're going to take Christmas to 25.
They're going to have one Christmas for every regeneration of the Doctor we've had so far.
There you go.
One episode.
We better enjoy it because initial reports are that we wouldn't get any more Doctor Who till fall of 2012.
No.
At least there won't be any new episodes till fall of 2012.
At least then it would be shown in one continuous season, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully. There's talk that it's going to get split into the spring of 2013, but the Beeb won't commit to that.
Yeah.
All they'll commit is that it's going to be next fall.
If you love it, put a ring on it.
Because the thing that doesn't make sense is that if they keep pulling that kind of shit, eventually they're going to lose seasons.
Well, Moffat said that right now the plan is to make all 14 episodes air in a row. 14, I think, is what they said they've commissioned. Is it 14?
Well, that's 13. 14. That's right. That's fine. That's 13 in the Christmas episode.
The Christmas episode
is technically the beginning of the next season.
Yeah.
I just hope that they have one more special in between there, like they did the Waters of Mars, or they'll do an Easter episode or something.
I think I read that the reason that people really aren't realizing this is BBC is putting pretty much all their eggs in one basket because I guess they have the Olympics in the summer.
Oh, that's correct. Yeah.
Basically, they are clearing all of their programming out of the way because it's going to be Olympics 24/7.
No, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. No,
hey, BBC, BBC ain't going to work.
Well,
BBC,
aren't they? Is London hosting the Olympics?
Yeah, but Salt Lake City hosted the Olympics once too, and nobody watched it then either.
I don't know. I think it might be a little different over there.
Yeah, it is different environments. They've got a different viewpoint.
They care about things.
Yeah, they do. They're really not as apathetic.
Plus, they're a publicly funded station. So, I mean, if your country is hosting the Olympics and all of your money is going into your country's television broadcast studio, it's safe to say that it's
all I'm saying is now would probably be like when Doctor Who is at its absolute most popular and getting more and more popular, now would be a pretty risky time to take your most popular show that's not only popular in your country but internationally and then exchange it for something that we've seen in the past in other countries nobody watches.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
They talk about it every year about how nobody watches the Olympics.
But again, U.S.
That's probably U.S. ratings.
That's what I'm saying though is that
they're way more concerned about your ratings.
But Doctor Who is getting such international acclaim. International acclaim is better than just national acclaim because there are more people in the world than there are in Great Britain. I didn't know if you guys knew this. But in America.
I mean, ignoring the snark, I mean, at the end of the day, the British ratings are the ones that are going to make or break the show. BBC, yes, supplements that, BBC America, rather. But at the end of the day, the show doing well in the UK is what's going to determine whether or not it's going to keep going. And I think it's averaging 10 million viewers a week, which is at its highest, like you said. And the fact is, they're not replacing it. They're pushing it. They're basically pushing it to the fall where really most of your major shows come back anyway. Most of your major shows start in September, go to December, and then take their break into January, February. And that's a 24 episode season. You got shows here like the series like Dexter, Walking Dead, 13 episode arcs here. They only run from September to late November. So it's not unheard of. It's just that, we've kind of been a little spoiled if you think about it, because Doctor Who's already, it's always aired very early in the year. But if you think about it, the only difference is they're pushing the schedule back because it used to end in May or June and then you waited a whole year for it anyway. So the only thing is we're waiting an extra couple months because they're shifting the schedule. We're not getting less Who. We're just waiting a little longer for it.
Hey, guys, we have we have an incoming transmission coming in. Who is this? It's Dalek Bohr. Dalek Bohr, what's going on?
Dalek Bohr is unhappy.
Guys, Dalek... Dalek Bohr is unhappy. Why are you mad? Why are you mad?
You mad, bro?
BBC.
Whoa! What was that?
Oh,
Dalek Bohr. Listen, this is a family show. I don't think that's something that you need to.
This is a family show.
By the way, Dalek Bohr, could you talk a little closer to the microphone, Dalek Bohr?
Dalek Bohr is. Are you having some troubles over there, Dalek Bohr? So, I mean, why? Why are you so angry right now? Is it the Doctor Who kind of disappearing? Is that what's going on right now?
Dalek Bohr out of work.
Oh, Dalek Bohr out of work. Right. Well, sorry, Dalek Bohr. Well, you know, we hope you do find some work here in the very very near future.
Fuck
so.
You,
hey. Okay, all right. We know.
Dalek Bohr, I can hook you up with some people who do some slash fiction on Twitter. Like, don't even worry about it.
All right, you know, he's disconnected. Dalek Bohr is no longer.
I thought Dalek Bohr was going in a way different direction when you first.
I hope from now on he calls in every week.
Maybe we will have him call in every episode. Yeah. Anyways,
he needs the work, obviously.
Another casualty of some of the things going on this summer, and kind of an overall BBC funding cut. I think they said they're cutting like 20%. Of funding and a lot of their shows.
The board. Yep.
The cancellation of Doctor Who Confidential, which we don't get that in the U.S., do we?
I don't think so.
We used to for at least one season or two.
We did, but we do get that on. I think we get it on Netflix. If I'm, it is.
Yeah,
they
aired it after immediately after or before Doctor Who at some point.
Can you explain what it was, Steve? What the show is?
It. A bunch of guys sitting around a VH1 Behind the Music kind of style program where a bunch of people kind of talk about Doctor Who and show clips from Doctor Who and talk about their favorite junk from Doctor Who. It's basically the televised version of this show.
You know what show I've never watched?
What?
Doctor Who Confidential.
Yeah. They probably had less viewers than we do have listeners, so I could care less if it disappears.
I guess it was somewhat popular to the cult Doctor Who fans in the BBC.
Well, I mean, it was really cool.
Yeah.
It was designed as a supplement when the show came back in 2005.
It was designed as super, super cheap stuff that they could place it and the co-stuff of Doctor Who fame. Like, that was what it was for.
Sure.
Well, I mean, it was different topics, but it was behind the scenes stuff. I mean, they filmed, and each one would air after the episode before it, so you would get the behind the scenes look. You'd get interviews with the actors. You'd get interviews with guest stars, directors, and all that stuff. And yeah, there were different topics, but most of them referred to the episode that aired literally moments before it went on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yep.
And it's pretty cool, but like you guys said, I mean. Forget here. I honestly don't know how relevant, if at all, it is here beyond diehard fans. Yeah. But I think it's been said that I think the ratings were in a decline, and like Dolly said, with the BBC needing to cut 20% because of a lack of funding, mm-hmm. you know, if they're going to be looking at original programming or whatever else, if these ratings were down, what can you say? You know, I mean, as long as it doesn't affect Doctor Who, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, same here.
I'm sure they can still keep filming. Some stuff and put it on DVDs in the future, or maybe they can do some shorter stuff and put it on the internet, make it internet exclusive stuff. There are options here. It doesn't have to be the end of the world for anybody who likes behind the scenes stuff.
I mean, it seems to me like it was kind of it's kind of an antiquated idea because, like I said, like it was basically plus guest stars, it was what we do here every week. It was people talking about Doctor Who and latest episode of Doctor Who that just aired and whatnot. And it just seems like an antiquated idea because they are paying these people to come on and talk about Doctor Who, and they're opening up slots on their television programming to show this, whereas there's already stuff like that on the internet, like us. Like, there is, like, it. The internet has kind of quashed that sort of style of discussion because you can just, like, the people are doing it for you already on forums and in message boards and in the comments of on websites and stuff like that. So, like, they don't really need to do that anymore, especially if it's not getting them any ratings.
Well, let's move on.
Okay.
Another show that didn't get very, very good ratings in the U.S. at least was Torchwood.
Yeah.
A Doctor Who spinoff that just also completed its series run.
You know what? I thought it got better ratings than I expected, to be honest, in the U.S.
I guess it could be taken a couple different ways, can't it?
I did that breakdown in that one episode about like just how few people would be watching this show anyway.
It turned out to be six. Basically, six people would be watching Torchwood.
Well, I can't believe that Stars picked it up at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Like, I Stars, that was a blind side. I was like, really? I can't believe Stars picked that up.
Without having any previous knowledge of the show.
Or any ties to the show. Yeah.
I mean, the UK numbers have been solid for the whole season.
Have they? That's good.
Yeah, I mean, so the U.S. numbers pretty much hovered around, like, the season premiere was 1.5 million. The season finale has not been released in the U.S. yet. That was 1.5 million U.S. But, I mean, the season premiere was 6.6 million U.K. The season finale was 5.1 million.
Interesting.
For the finale.
Really?
And, you know, the lowest number across the whole season was 4.48 million on episode 8. Or episode 3.8, however you want to put it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's actually pretty impressive. That's much more impressive than I thought I was getting.
So, I mean, you know, all things considered, I mean, you know, having a million pretty much across the board, which is what it had on average, is more than I thought it would get, especially because Stars itself is a pretty exclusive package.
Yeah, I know. Like, that was the breakdown I did, like of all of the people who have cable and all of the people who know what Doctor Who is and all the people that have Stars. Yeah.
I mean, like, all those things coming together is going to be a pretty small subset of cable users.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what we got.
And so, I'm in a full agreement. And I thought that 1 million, you know, if Stars was expecting a lot more than 1 million, I don't know what they were thinking.
Oh, yeah. What the hell is wrong with you, Star? Like, I was able to tell the Star, they could have come to me, like, right now. They pay people, like, thousands of dollars to come up with these numbers on these predictions and stuff. They could have listened to this podcast and found out right away that it wasn't going to do fucking 8 million viewers every night.
But, yeah. Anyway,
I don't think they were unhappy with the 1 to 1.3 million. I mean, I think that's a pretty good success for Stars, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Stars should take it and be happy.
That's definitely comparable to their other major shows. I can't really think.
Yeah,
of
I just don't know.
I just don't know
what Stars does on average for their other stuff.
No, I feel like I read that was good for them, and then of course it dipped in the middle. I think it dipped below a million, but I don't know how it did. Did you mention the last episode ratings in the U.S.?
They have not been released.
Okay, not because I'm not sure how it did finale wise. I do know that the CEO, Chris, what's his face, had mentioned that it's not a lack of want on their part to bring Torchwood back so much as they're not sure it's going to happen depending on Russell T. Davies and his busy schedule and stuff. So I don't know if that's just posturing and them being polite about it or what. Maybe it is true. I don't know. But I do think that if certain people wanted it to happen, I do think Torchwood would return because it didn't bomb.
Can we maybe move on to why this is so impressive that this did so well? Because it was so damn boring.
Ooh.
Like at that, I was defending Torchwood Miracle Day pretty heavily these last couple weeks. But damn, I just watched the last two episodes and wow,
I thought the last episode was actually good.
Yeah, I thought it was horribly rushed and didn't like.
No, I don't think it was rushed. I just think that, you know, the first two episodes and the last two episodes actually had substance and everything else was a waste of time.
I mean, I kind of agree with that concept. I thought that it started off really strong and just petered out as it went along and just went down these weird tangents and roads that it didn't really need to go down. And
yeah,
then
there were bad pacing issues.
Yeah,
there really, was really bad pacing issues.
10 episodes was too long. Too long.
No, it should have been 5.
Yeah, it should have been 5.
It should have been a miniseries like Children of Earth.
Yeah, well, Children of Earth was 5. Yeah,
Children of Earth was so good.
Children of Earth was great. I love Children of Earth. But yeah, they went down these weird rabbit holes and these like nowhere plot ideas, like Jack's boyfriend from the 90s and whatnot with the or not 90s, from like the 30s with the plate thing on his under his bed.
Why did you even mention that?
Yeah, that went absolutely nowhere. And then,
you didn't even have to bring that up.
Like they could have done the first three episodes of the show and then just skipped right to the last two, because in between those last two, they do that time jump of 2 months later anyway, and they kind of erase a lot of the tension that was built up prior to that, and it was just amazing thing.
You have the whole aside with Gwen and her father, and he just dies in the end anyway.
Yeah. Well, and you never even he dies off screen and without like hardly a mention at his final moments or anything like that. Like they show him leading up to that, and then
they showed his passing breath. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Okay, they did show him on screen. Yeah,
there was still the. It just seemed like a totally wasted plot line. Yep.
They just spent so much time on screen.
Yeah,
about her and her father, mm-hmm. and
the entire season.
and
it just goes away anyway.
Yeah. I thought like the whole reveal of what the blessing was like. Was just so contrived, and like they even point out, like they kind of do that thing where they had no idea what they were going to write this thing to be, so they basically just have the character say, "I don't know what it is either. It's so amazing, I can't possibly comprehend it." It's like, no, it's just dumb. It's a big giant vagina pillar in the middle of the earth. It's you don't have any. You just not writing an ending is not. Writing it so that your characters don't even know what it is not writing an ending. That's not a plot reveal. And then, like, where I think it got really rushed is, like, they tried to tie up all these ends at the very end. And, like, these characters have almost no mourning for all this crazy stuff that's happening. Like, the whole thing with Charlotte being the traitor and everything
That was just, like, the last thing. And it's immediately forgotten and being like – and it goes to, what'd you do to me?
Yeah, and then Esther –
Hey, Jack, what'd you do to me?
Hey, World War II. World War II. What'd you do?
World War II. Hey.
Yeah, this girl is this woman is responsible for everybody I know and love dying horrible, painful deaths. Let's just completely move on from that and then end immediately. Or Esther's death, where like they do this big thing about Esther getting shot, and then they show her, they have that final lingering shot of her with her eyes open and everything, and then they say, oh, no, she's dead anyway, and nobody's mourning. I mean, they go to her funeral, and then they kind of walk out, and Rex makes a joke as they're walking out of the hallway about, like, and they give her, like, no time to mourn.
Well, better than me, eh?
Yeah, not necessarily that bad, but it's like those last like 15 minutes of that episode are like just incredibly rushed, and like with Charlotte and with Esther and everything, and they kind of just throw Esther in the garbage, basically that entire character. They just kind of drop her like a baby. It's
which
terrible.
I was fine with, by the way. I mean, in terms of plotting and pace, I agree that it was really poorly done at the end, but I did not like her. I never bought into her character. I never invested in it. I never believed in it. I did not like Esther at all. In fact, now that I think about it, I kind of felt that way about a bunch of Torchwood characters.
Well, that's just it too. Like maybe I would have cared more about Esther. Like I definitely cared more about Esther than I cared about Jack's Italian boyfriend, like who went absolutely nowhere. Why not spend more time fleshing out these characters that you have, other than the ones that you're going to drop?
Well, I think the problem is, sorry to cut you off, Dally, but I'm going to do it anyway.
I'm used to it. To me at home.
I mean, part of the problem is that they just can't decide who's going to survive.
Exactly.
They can't listen, guys. Choose a character that you're going to add to the show and let them live. Stop trying. Like, they waste so much time building up characters, fleshing them out.
You're not George R.R. Martin. You're not that guy.
I mean,
you're not that quality.
Seriously,
not as good at it.
It's just been like the last two seasons. They've done this. It's just like you build up these characters.
Last three seasons.
Well, yeah, you're right. Last three. Introduce new character. Flesh out new character. Kill new character. Stop it.
I think that,
such a waste of time.
Yeah.
I don't want to stop trying to get me attached to these characters so you can kill them in front of me.
Like Sean was saying, like, I guess I didn't really care that much about Esther's character, but so much as it was just like, wow, she made it to the last 5 minutes of the episode. Like, it's pretty clear she's but they care about her enough where they're going to keep her in. And it's like, oh, nope. And then like,
well, look how much time we invested into learning about her, learning about her sister, learning about his, about her sister's children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, doesn't matter. Don't know what happened to her sister because Esther's dead.
Well, I mean, the same thing happened with Oswald Daines. They invested a huge chunk of the season on Oswald Daines and his
and
rise.
I really like that.
Yeah, I thought he was a really great kind of like almost an anti-Christ style character, right? I mean, everyone knows he's evil, but he's kind of leading this. He's very pathetic. He's prophetic. He's leading this new world order. And at one point in the episode in the series, Ginger basically turns and says, "Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, we don't need you anymore."
Well, yeah, and then
he's gone for like
too.
Two episodes.
And they pick up and not only do they pick up and drop these characters constantly, they pick up and drop plot threads constantly as well. Like Daines becoming like this like new messiah of the America and everything. It's like it seems like that's where the show is like headed towards. Like it's going to be this big thing about media. And then, like, between one episode, like, he's just not important anymore. And then
– not only that, but he's able to find the entire Torchwood team in the UK when not even the CIA or the FBI or basically anybody could really find them. There was a couple snipers watching.
Oh,
the cross,
I mean,
but
if you go down this rabbit hole, Dolly, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but if you go down this rabbit hole of plot holes, I mean, then you're going to be picking stuff out from the very beginning, and you're talking about – you know, you're talking about they're being under close watch, but then they're jumping on planes and they're planes rather. They're going to and from the UK or wherever they were going.
They've got Torchwood software on every single computer they ever touch.
They've got Torchwood software. I mean,
Jack.
It's all on a USB
fingertips.
Never mind. One of the biggest things, in my opinion, is the complete ignoring / retconning of Jack's immortality.
Yeah.
Which just makes no sense. Like, even if you accept at face value that giant thing in the Earth, which has been there forever and keeps humanity in sync or whatever the crap they were talking about, that's fine. But Jack is a fixed point in time.
Yeah, he's a fixed – that's just it. Like,
and you've gone out of your way to establish that this is still in the Doctor's universe because Jack mentions him and mentions adventures with him
final episode.
Multiple times. And then you go and you make him mortal supposedly because of I don't even know what the waves were or the morphic fields.
Yeah.
This thing is controlling humanity's morphic fields and it's keeping everybody in sync, so they either die or they don't. And then the plot point with Jack's blood, which could have been so great and so dark had they gone the right way with it back in the past, and instead they use that as a way to reboot humanity and live forever because it's something that they're going to take advantage of and control, is ridiculous. It's ridiculous because Jack's blood has been proven a million times to have nothing to do with the fact that he can't die. Nothing to do with it. And it just drove me crazy. It drove me crazy. And then that gets into Rex coming back at the end.
Yeah,
because
now it's basically like they've put it in canon that his blood is what keeps him alive.
Exactly. And that's not what it is. That's not what it is. It's because of the TARDIS. It's because of Rose Tyler. And the fact, like, even if you used it, I could maybe on a long shot see them doing that to reverse the morphic field. Maybe. Even though it still shouldn't have had anything to do with Jack, and Jack still should have been fine. But the fact that Rex is immortal at the end, no way.
Maybe,
no, I just can't. I can't. Yeah. Cannot buy it.
Maybe,
I can't buy it.
Maybe.
He's
maybe not buy it.
You know, they miss an awesome. They miss an awesome opportunity to just cut ties completely with the with Doctor Who. Obviously, Jack is immortal, but he is a time agent, so there is time travel involved. And there may have, you know, there could have been a way where they said, hey, you know, Jack dies or something reverses Jack's life completely to, you know, before he met the Doctor, so that they could start this whole new season. Maybe he's still got all his memories and stuff, but starts this whole new life of Jack, devoid of what Doctor Who is. So you really do make that split, and that's something they could have done this year with this season, and really been able to set up, you know, some of the stuff down the line, or at least potential future seasons. But now they're still tied in a big way. They're still tied to Doctor Who. You know,
which wouldn't be an issue. It wouldn't even be that big of an issue.
Right. It wouldn't be that big of an issue if it was planned out. Because I think it's what I've been seeing is Russell T. Davies is he kind of created a show and planned it out as not being tied to the Doctor Who universe. And obviously right now, with all the stuff that's happening in Matt Smith's universe and stuff that Stephen Moffat's doing, the stuff that Torchwood's doing, they can't be in that same universe. There's no recollection of Torchwood pretty much in this 11th Doctor's universe. But
I'm wondering if they maybe Star Trek that shit, like, and just haven't mentioned it to anybody. Like, when Doctor Who reboots the universe,
sure,
in season 5, like, maybe this is still Jack's universe, like, pre
and,
that moment.
Exactly. And that, like I said, that may be where their opportunity lied to to really split from Doctor Who and become their own entity. Because I think Children of Earth was starting to get to that point. And they could have done it really early on, but the fact that, again, Sean, you mentioned it, and I think Taylor, and you guys said, hey, he's got his blood in him, which makes him immortal. Well, that's not how he got immortal. I mean, that doesn't work. It's totally different. So, you know, I think there were some opportunities that were missed. At the same time...
Exactly.
At the same time, I really enjoyed those last couple episodes. I mean, I really enjoyed them to the point where they're
sure.
as television. Sure. It was just good.
Yeah.
Good action.
I agree.
You know, there were enough twists and turns.
I agree.
I agree too.
Yeah, I
agree.
Gave,
I mean,
your growling isn't going to change that.
I mean, like, really. I mean, as far as a Doctor Who companion series goes, it was disappointing.
Yes.
As far as television goes, I'd watch it again.
Yeah.
Right. I like, man, I just can't see what you guys see in this. Like, the whole, like, with between how many plot holes there was, just not even in the connection to the Doctor Who universe, just in connection to, like, how the show worked and, like, just how,
sure,
like, how
sure,
badly designed a lot of the characters were, and just how much time they wasted in this. Like, they got 10 episodes, like a 10 episode season, and they just didn't know what to do with 10 episodes. And on top of that, just like the limp wristed ass, like, villain in this one was just like, okay, there's three families and they're creepy, but they don't really, it turns out, but they don't actually, when you actually see them, they don't really do anything. And apparently these three families are comprised entirely of these two people, like, they're the only ones that matter, and like this big giant thing that we've been like, that's the whole crux of the show, we're never going to explain that, and it's just this big giant pillar that doesn't do anything.
I like to refer to it as the Earth China.
I mean, yeah, what the fuck was that about? Like,
I mean, but the thing about it is that, like, it all that stuff, when you look at the individual episodes about whether or not they were entertaining, I mean, it's about whether or not they can stand alone from that stuff. And I know it's a really plot-heavy show. I mean, but the fact of the matter is that, I mean, like, they were still well acted. And the scenes that came in were still interesting. I mean, despite the plot points. That's like saying that I'm not going to enjoy an action movie because the action movies have a lot of plot holes in them.
But I didn't think the action was that great either. Like, I still don't think that these people, like, the British don't, it doesn't seem to me that the British really know how to do these kind of weird action scenes with guns and gunplay and all this stuff. Like, the way that characters move and the way that characters react to certain things and the way that they, like, I think it's in the last episode or the second to last episode, like, Gwen just, like, pulls a gun on Oswald Danes for, like, some, to do some one-liner. Whereas, like, if you, like, nobody would ever actually, like, point a gun at somebody unless they were unless it was either like that part of their character that they were kind of sociopathic. But this is Gwen doing this, and it's like, she's pointed out many times before that she doesn't want to kill Danes, and like, and she's just doing it, she's basically pulling out her gun to emphasize her point, which is something that you wouldn't, like, her character would never do. Like, the terrible writing and just the way that it kind of works, and the, or like, just the way she looks when she's shooting a gun looks so weird. Like, early on in the season, maybe this was in Children of Earth too. I can't quite remember.
I just think that you hate Torchwood, Steven.
I like Torchwood. Yeah. I was defending the shit out of Torchwood at the beginning here, but I thought that they just all tied together so poorly that it was just really bad. And
And you're not alone. I mean, there's a lot of people that feel the very same way.
And I don't know, but
we're just not them. We're just not those people.
I think I'm more middle ground.
It's you guys say that it's the action that matters. Well, like the action just feels really awkward to me. Like when Gwen shoots a gun, when Gwen shoots a gun, she's in like a car at one point. She's shooting a handgun, and she's got it in one hand and
firing it, but it jumps
into the air like 90 degrees, and then she points it back down again very slowly, and then jumps back up in the air again 90 degrees. And like it just looks so awkward.
I never noticed any of that kind of stuff.
But I did, and it looks really awkward, and it's just.
And that's why I don't care.
But I do care.
That's my point. That's why I'm trying to make sure that this conversation doesn't continue, because the fact is that we just have a difference of opinions, and I don't think that we need to labor the point.
Okay, well, right, all right. Whatever.
That's really true.
And he's right. It boils down to the fact that there are some people who really liked it. You know, there's some people that really hated it, and it didn't come together for them. I think we might be on the same page here. I could be wrong. I personally thought that it had a good start, a really, really weak middle, a fairly good ending that I really liked. And then looking back on it, it's just disappointing because it had so much potential with the things it did do, and it could have done so much better. And that's just my opinion on it, you know. But I don't hate it.
Tally, your thoughts?
I enjoyed those final two episodes because they were actually entertaining. And there was a point in the season where things started to really drag. I actually did like some of the social issues that they were coming across as a kind of a side note to what was overall happening on Torchwood. Things like starting to have people need to control death, and actually some people had to die, or all the categorization stuff and the breakdown of the economy and things like that. I thought that stuff was really intriguing, and as a kind of a stat nut that I am, all that stuff was really interesting to me. And I think they did it right, but it was almost as if it was tied a little bit too much into the plot. The whole idea of the categorizing of people was like three episodes worth, and that led nowhere. And the whole government's ties into the family or anything led nowhere. And there, so it's as if everything is completely back to normal. You know, a week after all this happens, everything's back to normal. Oh, by the way, a third of the Earth's population just died in the last 20 minutes. We've got a lot of crap to clean up. What do we do? You know, so it's a
right.
I think those issues should have either gone gung ho with them, or they should have just had them as these smaller tangents. Regardless, I enjoyed the premise of the show, nobody dying. I just wish it was tweaked here and there, and they had made a clean break from Doctor Who to make it its own series. Because I think Jack's character is really interesting. Watched the show, the more I really liked Oswald Danes' character. I actually wish they would have kept him around. Red, Ginger, Kissinger?
Gillen.
Yeah. I thought her character was really intriguing because she kind of towed this line of being, she's always kind of unethical and immoral, but she's always kind of playing the protagonist and antagonist, but she kind of remained true to her own personal ethics as to how she went about things until the very last.
You thought so?
Well, until the last couple episodes where she just said, yeah, okay, fine, I'll do whatever you guys tell me. Until then, she was actually – there were times where I was really digging her character. Just from the overall character development standpoint, and then they just lost it at the end. So, regardless, if this was five episodes, that would have been fantastic. Or if maybe the web series with some of these social issues would have been great. But let's just hope that they, or I don't know if you guys hope, but I do hope that they end up bringing the show back at some point. Maybe on Sci-Fi, where more people can access it and watch it. Because it was not the place.
And that was going to and that was going to be my next question. I mean, I think we're all in agreement on the fact that it should have been shorter, right? I mean, it should have been more condensed, and there were pacing issues, and it would have just been better served as five episodes. That being said, do you guys? I mean, would you watch it again? Would you be excited for more Torchwood? Would you be down and interested if they said, it's coming back, new season, new story, blah blah blah? Or are you kind of Torchwood out?
I'd watch it. I'd be into it.
I would watch it cautiously. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, at this point, it's like, where are you guys going with it? I mean, those first two seasons were really, I really liked them. I thought that that last season was good, but a completely different kind of good. Mm-hmm. You know, it was so different. And so, I mean, I think that I would want to do it, but I would also like want to know, like, where are we going with it? Are we going to go the first way, or are we going to go the second way? Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of storytelling are we going to be sticking with?
Yeah, I think they actually – I would say they squandered not all of it, but I think they've kind of burned a little bit of that goodwill they built up with Children of Earth. I mean, there was a show that was pretty much acclaimed across the board. I mean, it was loved. It was fantastic. It was brilliantly done. And then they followed that with Miracle Day, and it's kind of not great. So I think it'd be interesting if they did start talking about another Torchwood. Like you guys said, I think there'd be a lot of caution from fans going forward into that, which is sad because coming off of Children of Earth was just – everything was just – it was just, you know, sky's the limit for Torchwood. You know, new Torchwood, new day, new stories. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Well, we'll hopefully we'll hear some more information relatively soon on what's happening with Torchwood.
Yeah, I think you'll see Jack Harkness in Doctor Who before you'll see him in another Torchwood series. Yeah.
I hope so. Probably the 50th anniversary.
Probably. He wants it bad. It's all he talks about now.
Yeah, it is. It's true. I think he wants to stay in the minds of the Doctor Who folks, at least the fans.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
All right. Well,
and he probably really likes it, too. It's probably a lot of fun for him, too. Sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, sorry. I was going to say we're going to get into the trivia because we're almost on yet another 2-hour show. We're going to get into the trivia right now, but a couple of bits of housekeeping first. And you know, we'll talk about this. We were going to touch on our show, Lonely TARDIS, is going to do after the finale is over and where we take it. I think we'll get to that on the next episode because let's just get to this through this finale first, and then
Off air too.
Yeah, we can discuss it off
and
air.
Then
it would be great to ask the fans of our show here what they'd like us to get into as well. So I think we'll talk about that next episode after all the finale stuff and kind of this a season wrap, I guess you could say. Before then, though, we have a couple final things. We're going to do the trivia. Before we get to the trivia, we're going to announce the winners or the winner of the Doctor Who action figures that we mentioned on the last episode. So we've been trying to do these contests for our readers or our listeners, I should say, every episode. We've been announcing these contests. We haven't really been getting a lot of people entering. I have been checking that all the iOS stuff that we've been doing, people are winning. So at least there's that. But we've had like books we've given away, nobody's got. We've had like a poster, I think nobody won because nobody was entering. This is the first time we actually had people enter. So we went from 0 entries on previous episodes to 4 entries this episode. So I think it is a good start. So
jackpot.
So
count it.
I'm going to go to. I'm going to do this live. I'm going to go to random.org and I'm going to select from comment number 1 to comment number 4. I'm going to generate. The winner is comment number 2, which is.
Yay!
It is from.
Spam.
No. It is from Louie Dog. He says, "Great show. I found it through Justin McElroy's tweet." Yeah, I'll listen to anything he's on is on. Anyways, we asked the question, "What's your biggest fear?" And he writes, "My biggest fear is bad stuff happening to my feet. I can watch pretty much anything in a horror movie without issue, but the scene from Home Alone where Daniel Stern steps on the nail barefoot really bothers me. I hate watching that. Don't even get me started on Misery, especially the novel. No thanks." Louis Dog, thank you for terrifying us, I guess.
Yeah. Sharing your deepest, darkest fears.
Yeah, sharing your deepest, darkest fears. That was winner, Louis Dog.
Yay, Louis Dog.
Louis Dog, congratulations. Our first actual on-air winner. Let's move on to this week's trivia question.
Tons of fanfare for Louis.
Yeah, great. Nobody's pretty much cared. Poor Louis. Poor Louis.
I'm sorry, are we doing a podcast?
Yeah. Wake up. So, trivia. What we've been doing with trivia is we've been adapting it every week, unfortunately, until we find one that works. And we have narrowed it down to our a current setup, which is I will be the one asking the questions, and all three, both co-hosts and our guest will be answering. Everybody gets the winner of the trivia. If it's the guest wins a prize. If it's the co-hosts don't get nothing. So it's important for the guest to try and win so they can win the prize. So
You're trying to basically beat us.
Yeah, beat the co-hosts to a pulp, please.
Metaphorically
speaking.
I can take tail.
Yes. This week's prize is an awesome, awesome shirt. Sean, you sent this along. It's from Graphic Lab. It is... Jason Castile created a TARDIS Prime, so like Optimus Prime. It is the TARDIS transforming into Optimus Prime with a sonic screwdriver gun and a bow tie. And it just looks awesome, this shirt. We'll link it in the show notes. It's actually, it's got 4 days left before it goes off the market. So the trivia winner this week, our guest, should he win, will get this awesome TARDIS Prime shirt.
On that note, may I offer a suggestion?
Sure.
So, you know, guest gets the trivia, they win the prize, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here's my suggestion.
Sure.
Co-host wins. Co-host chooses listener to win prize.
Oh, you mean for the...
For the trivia.
For the trivia. We'd be
fighting for the users.
Exactly.
That is correct. Oh, you know, that could be actually a pretty interesting thing.
I like
this idea. And maybe what we'll do is for the next episode, we're going to select two winners from our commenters on this episode. So if you'd like to be included in the in this representation, I guess, Sean will represent one person, Stephen represent another, and we'll have our guest host. And if you'd like to be one of the represented, leave a comment.
So much pressure.
I know. Leave a comment in our post telling us your favorite Doctor Who quote, because this week's trivia is all about Doctor Who quotes. So tell us your favorite Doctor Who quote. If we select you, we'll announce at the very beginning of the episode next week, and then during the trivia, you will be represented by either Sean or Steven. Sounds good?
Sounds great.
Sounds good.
Trivia.
Sounds good. Okay, let's get on to the trivia for the shirt. First bit of trivia. Again, this is going to be we tried last week. Everybody was able to get points. This week, it's just going to be the first person to answer. And it's the first person to 3 points. So because we got to zoom through this, we're going to make this quick.
Okay.
All right. These are going to be a little bit difficult, so just be ready because I made sure that these quotes were crazy. All right, the first quote is, who says this? End of the universe. Have fun. Bye-bye.
Master.
You got it. So Steven.
Damn it. That's what I thought it was.
Steven gets 1 point. That was quick. How did you guess that, by the way, Steven?
Because I remember the master saying that. I don't know. It's from the first episode of the three-parter from season 3 where the master first regenerates from Dr. Yana into the young John Sim master. And,
Utopia.
Just as he's about to TARDIS himself away, he says, end of the universe, bye-bye, and then turns on the TARDIS and he flies away.
All right, how about this next quote for 1 point? It's not supposed to make that noise. You leave the brakes on.
River Song.
Damn it.
Steven gets another point. 2 points for Steven.
I know that.
I was wondering if you were doing two separate quotes there for a second.
No, these are all one quote. All one quote. That was from Time of Angels.
Yep.
So
you leave the brakes on.
I love that noise. It's a wonderful noise.
It's a wonderful noise.
A lot of people got upset about that. A lot of classic fans thought that was they weren't happy about that. Little side trivia there. They thought that Moffat was taking too much liberty with the TARDIS.
Oh,
whatever. Fucking Russell T. Davies had it flown by 8 different people, so whatever.
It pulled the Earth. Terrible. So bad. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. how about this one? We're going to go with... I'm staring at one right now, but I don't know if it would be
Pond.
Too difficult. Oh, damn it. I have to find a new one because that was Amy Pond. You don't get one.
I'll take... Of course not. I never get my
point. You don't get the point. All right. Let's go.
I drink your milkshake.
Right, here we go. Ready? Killed by an insect. A girl. How inappropriate.
Centaur.
Oh, that's the master.
You got it. That's the master.
That's old master.
Can I just state for the record that I actually knew that like before anybody said anything? About halfway through that quote, when you got to the insect part or something, you know, early on. But I want Taylor to win because I felt really bad.
Oh.
Those first two votes.
I'm sure that's exactly what happened, Steven.
It was.
Sympathetic Time Lord over there.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
Okay, here's one. And
it was from that same goddamn episode as the first question.
Yes, it is.
Actually, I was trying to make
Dolly's it. Dolly's got all of time and space to choose from. He goes for the same episode twice.
don't judge me. I might go for it a third time. How about this? And this another one of these. Oh well, maybe when you're older.
River Song.
You got it. Steven wins. That is a third one. And that was in the wonderful episode Flesh and Stone, where she, the doctor and her kind of have a little bit of a moment. So the doctor says, River Song, I could bloody kiss you. And River says, oh, well, maybe when you're older. All right, we're going to do one bonus question because Steven kind of owned that round. So, Steven, you sit back and just shut up for now.
Take a nap.
Yes.
I'm going to preemptively say River Song and or the Master from Time of Angels and or Utopia. Can I have all the points, please?
Here's the quote. Let me know who said it. Rory, I'm not trying to be rude, but you died.
The doctor.
Taylor, you were absolutely horrible this round. You got 0 points.
Quotes ain't my thing, man. I do facts.
Give him another one.
Okay, we'll give you one right now.
This one's worth 10 points.
This one's worth 10 points. If you can get this,
okay.
If you can get this, you win.
Making the rest of this entire exercise completely meaningless.
Shut up, Steven.
All right, let's see if you can get this one. Okay, here it goes. My name is Amy Pond.
The master.
You know, Taylor, I feel so bad for you that we are gonna award you this wonderful.
Did I win?
You won the shirt.
Dude, you killed it
because of how bad you were. It was. I think you were playing the role reversal.
Holy crap!
The wrong game.
Taylor, you win.
Wait, were those supposed to be quotes?
They were quotes from the show. You're supposed to guess who said them.
Oh man!
I thought we were supposed to list other characters.
I'll say a quote. You just name somebody, anybody. Just name anybody. Taylor, I'll get your information after the show. We won't have a winner for this week, but we will include you on the next episode. Again, you're going to be playing.
Mm.
Not you, but Steven and Sean. You're going to be playing for listeners, and then our guests will be playing for themselves. I just want to say,
yeah. if there's an episode where we don't have a guest, like yes. Everybody should take the other than you, obviously, should take the place of a listener.
Oh, for sure, yeah. definitely.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. Next week we will be joined by Justin and Sydney again. They did a great job last episode, and
fantastic
we'll see if we can actually beat them, or if you guys can actually beat them. Now there is definitely a necessity to, because you're playing for somebody else. So again, if you're interested in being played for, or if you, it's hard to word that. If you're interested in being
we're gonna play you,
potential
son.
Winner, we're gonna play you. Let us know. any being quote. Being your a favorite quote.
Participant on. Yeah.
List your favorite quote from.
The Coltrane runs on whole grain.
It has to be Doctor Who quotes, not Gears of War 3. With that said, you have been listening to episode number 6 of The Lonely TARDIS, another 3-hour episode, which.
It was about 2.5, I think.
It was about 2 hours. I think it went well. Gentlemen, I'm Dally Domofsky. You can find me at Cool Rats. Sean, where can we find you?
You can find me on the Twitters, at Sean Norton, S-H-A-U-N-N-O-R-T-O-N.
You can find Steven.
You can find me at Steven Strom, S-T-E-V-E-N-S-T-R-O-M. And I got to really point this one out because nobody is – like, please follow me on Twitter because I say funny stuff all the time and post links to my stuff, and I have no Twitter followers.
And also –
not literally none, but
– nobody who wants to actually admit that they're following you. Expressive. Also,
you hear that? You hear me not laughing at that, Dally?
Taylor Bliss, where can we find you?
You can find me. I do. I tweet things at twitter.com/TaylorBliss. I also write and stuff. ArmlessOctopus.com. Indie news, reviews, and special features going up all the time. ArmlessOctopus.com.
Excellent. And.
And just one quick thing, please rate and review the podcast. It has its own Twitter feed now, or its own iTunes feed now. Like, you can go listen to Lonely TARDIS without having to search through SideQuesting or the SideQuest episodes. But just please, please, please review and rate.
Please review and rate. On a future episode, we're going to do all kinds of fun stuff, and we need you guys to show that you support us. So please review and rate 5 stars if possible. Here's my beef. Our very first review gave us 4 stars.
Ooh.
What?
4 stars. So,
ouch.
Please give us 5 stars so that we can go past that. You know, work out that average, I guess.
If you think it's just a 4-star show, I mean, don't be dishonest.
Yeah, don't be dishonest, but you know, it's a 5-star show.
But maybe, yeah, I mean, well, I know it's a 5-star show, but like,
just maybe
tell
don't.
Us what we could do. To make
I'd love to hear
it. 5-star show for you.
And you can tell us by sending an email to lonelytardis@sidequesting.com. Again, lonelytardis@sidequesting.com. Thank you, everybody. It's been an awesome show. We're all hyped up for this week's finale.
Cannot wait.
See you guys. Take care. Adios. Geronimo.
Bye.